Why do we need groups in organizations? This is the next part. Group membership provides self-esteem to individuals. When you are in a group, your self-esteem increases, you feel secure and you also feel confident. Group relations create, build and maintain power. They create, build and maintain power. Power means the position to act upon, take risk and produce results. Group decisions are better than individual decisions, obviously. One individual may take a decision, but when the group consensus is taken, definitely you get new ideas and you can take a better decision. What are the advantages of groups? Having a group increases organization productivity. I don't need to elaborate this. Cohesive groups, groups that are staying together, adhering to each other, they produce results with greater efficiencies. Groups which have got a very good group synergy, group convivability, group comfort with each other, they produce greater efficiency. Groups result in collaborative effort. We don't compete and say that I'm better than you. We come together and we collaborate. Mine and yours put together. Groups make balanced decisions that involve less risk. Since there are so many ideas coming up from different members of the group, we take decisions which are not creating too much of a high risk or too much of a zero risk. It's something which will take care of it the way we want it. Groups share information and idea and data. It's important. There are groups, however, members and group members as well as intergroups. Between two groups, people refuse to share information for funny reasons. Today we are living in the information age, where information is enabler, not a power anymore. There was a time when we used to say information is power. Information is no more a power. Information is available left, right and center. Information is an enabler. If I, as a leader, as a team leader, is not sharing an information with my team member, I am not enabling my team and my work to be going ahead. So don't do this silly mistake of not sharing information and data. Do it by all means. It actually enhances the group's working. Somebody may turn around and ask me this question. I'm sure it is in your mind right now. But there is certain information which you can't share. That is called as classified information. At every position that you're working, there is some information which you are not supposed to share with the team members. That information remains with you. But there are other functional information. Information that is required for the purpose of work, which they may need. By all means, share it. If they ask for information which is classified in nature, tell them, look, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it when it comes to that. So this is how one needs to develop a conversation in a group, if you're a group leader or a team leader. People with complementary skills produce similar results like in teams. I have one skill of, say, writing good reports. You have a skill of, you know, learning to be eloquent with people when talking. So we come together and we produce similar results of excellence when we're in a group, because we are synergizing with each other, right? Taking it further, groups formulate more realistic objectives and strategies. I've already told it in different wording. Groups meet individuals' needs and support each other. And groups meet organization needs with less cost and resource. There are some disadvantages which are not always there, but they could creep up. Certain group goals are in conflict with individual goals and organization goals. Sometimes I, as a member of my group, may have a goal of mine, personal goal, individual goal, which may be in conflict with the group goal. There may be a festival today and it's important that I've attended and I am not being given a leave because my group goal says I need to be present. This could happen. Once in a while is okay, but if it happens frequently, then we need to address it. This could be one of the disadvantages of a group. Group performance might get affected by dyssynergy due to social loafing. Dyssynergy is the opposite of synergy. I'm expecting that when I put A plus B together in a group, A is producing 100 units, B is producing 100 units. I'm expecting then when they come together, they will produce more than 200. So I'm putting them together. Instead, because A is present, B stops working. His output comes down and vice versa. This is called as social loafing. Social loafing. So just for your additional information, there is this phenomenon called Ringelmann effect. Ringelmann effect. You can go and read in the net. Now, social loafing is like how it is in a Ringelmann effect. We talk about a typical scenario like a tug of war. I'm sure all of you have played tug of war, most of you at least. So there's a rope in which there's one gentleman here, one person on the side, two people on each side. When they start pulling, either A wins or B wins. But if you put one extra person on each side, 2 plus 2, the chances of winning is reduced, because the two on either side, one of them will start letting go, because he says he is going to do it, so why should I do it? This attitude comes. And this is very common in many scenarios in organizations. So we must learn to put a team in such a way that social loafing is reduced to the minimum. Social loafing cannot be eliminated. It will be there. There will be some people who will take things for granted that somebody else will do it. Why should I do it? That may bring about a dis-synergy. But if it is going on for too much of a time, it's an attitude, then you need to address it. Social loafing, that's called as, right? Highly cohesive groups with negativity would hamper organization interests. If a group is together and they have a very negative view about some aspect of the organization's working, that can be a destructive group to the organization. It happens with certain people who are influenced by negative forces in the organization. It happens. Inequity in contribution could hamper in group relationship. Inequity means everybody in the group is not contributing equally. This happens in practically every group. They don't contribute equally. And certain group members feel absolutely cheated. This is, I'm working more, these guys are doing nothing. Or I'm doing this and that fellow is just going away for a holiday. And that could hamper group relations. Dissimilar opinions may lead to indecisions. I have one opinion that this is a work to be done in this way. You have another opinion and we are very strong about it. Now what could happen is this may carry on with a delay of time and the decisions may get postponed or they may not be taken. Okay? Taking further, group members may not feel responsibility for actions, for results. They take less risky decision to safeguard group interests. Okay? Political behavior results in negative impact in groups and organization. Political behavior not as in terms of politics, Indian politics or something. Political behavior as in terms of manipulating each other. Trying and doing something which is, you know, for personal gains. Talking nonsense about somebody to the boss. You know, there's a very common pettiness which certain people display. And that has to be addressed very, very harshly at the very first instant. Manipulating each other, trying to do favoritism, getting into nepotism, all those things which are destructive to a group. Creating small groups within groups. Okay? And they do not work well in individualistic societies. A group doesn't work well in a society like US. That's what is the notion. It's not always true. Okay? Individualistic means what? Every individual believes that I am the best. So when all of them come together, in such type of a scenario, it may not work is one of the contentions. Now we talk about types of groups. Formal group is one that is officially created. The organization is a formal group. The institute, V school, where we are all learning, is a formal group. It has got a structure. There's a job relationship. There's an organization structure. Each one has got roles which are clear cut. No confusion. Informal group is formed to satisfy social needs by people with common interests, aptitudes, values and opinions. Now within this formal group called the organization, there are people who come together who are having similar interests. They form their own informal groups. As a matter of fact, informal groups are very, very strong. Strong in their communication, strong in their convictions. And we have a statement in OB which says, informal groups make or break an organization. Informal groups make or break an organization. Because informal groups, if they are really synergistic, they will take the organization to heights. How do you do your networking in your organization? Don't you do through informal means? That informal means networking is what actually produces results. With due respect to the formal structure we have, with due respect to the formal organization that we have, everywhere, starting from the public sector undertaking, to private sector, to one-man show, to small and medium companies, everywhere you notice that it is the informality among the group that creates the networking and getting things done. If I go in the capacity of a trainer and I talk about this to somebody and get my work done, I'll not get work done. I have to go and see who are the right people to talk to. Informally make bridges with people. And through that I come to know many things. And then the work gets done faster. Right? Informal groups do not have a very strong boundary around themselves. Informal groups have got strong convictions, common interests, and they create boundaries. One informal group usually resists another informal group to come together. So they are usually having their own boundaries. Each one has got their own groups. Can you not see that in your own organization where you go for lunch in the canteen? In the afternoon, you'll find all the informal groups sitting together. And they are not of the same level in the organization chart. They'll be of different levels. The informal groups may be formed because of certain reasons. Same community, same geographical area where they live, same language they speak, same interests. So this is how they come together. Command group formed by the superior and his subordinates. Command group is formed for the purpose of getting certain things done very, very, very urgently and forcefully. There are times during crisis I need to have a command group which steers a particular goal with a certain amount of assertiveness. Task group or task force, as you call them, are formed by people working together to accomplish a particular task. So we have number of things we do. So there is a task group that takes care of this task from start to finish. That group's responsibility is that. Next comes interest group, formed by people with common interest for developing working conditions, recreational facilities, etc. Interest groups are more or less informal in nature. So people who are having common interests, they come together in a formal setting to get things done. Like I have a need, let's say, for having a party. Somebody else has got a need to have a party. So we'll say, okay, fine. This festival time is coming, or the Christmas time is coming, or something. Let's go along and have a party created. So all the people with common interests will come together and they will make the party happen successfully. Friendship group is again very informal, formed by people with common interests like sports, music, social status, etc. Next comes primary group, formed by people with feeling of comradeship, loyalty, and common sense of values. So people who are having values which are common, they come together. That's called as a primary group, right? Then we have this famous coalitions. All of us know about this famous term, coalitions. In the last so many years, Indian government has always been a coalition government. Now, what's a coalition? Formed by individuals from different groups into an ad hoc group, temporary group, in order to achieve a specific task. And the individuals have dual membership. That means they belong to the group. You know, we have got the two political groups in India, the NDA. The NDA has got members who are having affiliation to their group at the same time to the agenda of the NDA or whichever, right? So they have dual membership. So they have dual duties to go. Preserve the coalition agenda, at the same time preserve their own party's agenda. Coalition is dissolved after the goal for which it is formed is attained. Coalition is a temporary ad hoc arrangement. This is a type of group, number 8. Now we come to a very interesting model to understand how groups are formed. As a matter of fact, this is a model which is called as a team formation. In some books they call it groups, in some book they call it team. There's a difference. Team is a specialized form of a group. A team has got high achievers. A team has got experts. Each one is an expert. And the team comes together for attaining what we call it as a superordinate goal. Superordinate goal. That means they are achieving something which is of a higher order, not a day-to-day routine. So don't call any group of people around you as a team. I have heard this from many corporate people. This is my team. They are not a team technically. They are only a group. If they are achieving something of a larger nature, under pressure, under challenges, with experts coming together, directed properly, that is called as a team. If experts are brought in together to reach a superordinate goal and they are directed properly, and that goal matters to the company or the organization, that composition of people is called as a team, not any 5 or 6 people who come together. Anything on an ongoing nature is not a team, it's a group. But anything for a specific purpose which comes up is a team. Indian cricket team, is it not a fact, this definition? We've got a wicket keeper who's an expert in wicket keeping. We've got a fast bowler who's an expert in fast. So all these experts come together. And then they form the team. Now who forms a team? Who forms this group? A group is formed from the outside. But inside they manage it. The outside forms a group, but inside they manage it. Now this is one of the models, very famous model, called as a Bruce Tuckman's 5-stage model. There are 4 stages as well as 5 stages. 4 stages is for permanent groups and 5 stages is for temporary groups. There are 2 types of groups. Groups which are permanent. For example, the Indian team is a permanent team. The members keep changing. The team is like an organic body. Whereas if I want to conduct a blood donation drive in the neighborhood, that becomes a temporary team. So for some time we have to do these activities which I'm going to explain. And then after that, the team is adjourned. So let's take them one by one. Bruce Tuckman's 5-stage model talks about 5 stages of team formation. Forming, storming, norming, performing and adjourning. Forming, storming, norming, performing and adjourning. Now what is forming? The purpose is not clear at this stage when the team is formed. Imagine players are selected from different parts of the country and they are brought in together for the first meeting. Maybe a net practice is about to happen 2 days later. Purpose is clear that we have to come together, we have to win a match. But the purpose is not clear initially, what is going to be my role, what are going to be the equations with each other, etc. I'm an expert, I've been brought together, so many things are unknown to me. I would not say purpose is not clear, many things are unknown to me. There's a lack of guidance and direction initially, not always. There's an uncertainty and confusion because I'm in a new group of people. Others find out acceptable behavior. We look for people to find acceptable behavior. There's an error in the sentence. Okay. I seek people with acceptable behavior. This is what I call it as apna types. You know, when I find somebody who has got similar taste, I start gelling with that person. We start creating informal groups. Intra-group conflicts as individuals feel their interests and preferences are shadowed. So within the group, intra means within the group, conflicts can take place because somewhere they may feel that my interests and my preferences are being overlooked. So that might happen in the forming stage. A good leader, a very good leader of the team has to be conscious that this stage, this is going to be happening. Things become nebulous. Things are not very clear, but people have come together. So his role is to coach from the forming to the next stage, which is called as storming. As the name indicates, it's full of sound and fury. What happens in sound and fury? No fights. What happens is people are going through a churning. I am the best wicket keeper in this country. And I have to stand behind. And this fellow is bowling. Stupid fellow. These thoughts may come to me. And I start getting into sort of a non-acceptance to begin with. Because I am an expert. And usually when you are an expert in some field, you have a type of a thing that I am the best. To the point of excluding others. It might happen. Conflict might happen. Confrontation might happen due to confusion over hierarchy, relationship, purpose and direction. Those of you have seen the movie Chak De India, you notice the storming happening. It's a brilliant movie to understand this whole team building. People resist imposition of others' interests. Somebody says, "With this needs to be done, you stand in this position, the ball will come here." No, don't. So he may resist it. He may go and stand there, but then he may not do his task well. Members accept group, but conflict over leadership and direction. They say, "Theek hai, we are together, but then we need time to come together." Now, storming is a stage in which people start discovering each other through conflict, confrontation, acceptance, etc. This is a churning. Imagine a pot in which you're boiling something. You put a lot of ingredients. That time when the boiling is going on, you can find every ingredient you put inside is going through a boil. If you're concerned about the storming, then the team will not mature to the next stages. A storming is important. If I take the example of the Chak De India, which most of you must have seen, the storming goes to such an extent that at one point of time, the leader Kabir Khan gives up on the team and he is about to retire. He is about to go back. Something happens, as you know. In the place, the McDonald's, these girls are, you know, having the lunch hosted by Kabir Khan. And suddenly some boys act funny with them and the girls start, they're all going through internal conflict and confrontation for a long time. And they're really getting, they're angry, but they don't know what to do. They're angry not with the system, but they're angry about something and each one wants to bring it out. They find a content. The content is these boys are teasing some girls. And then the conflict starts, they start bashing everybody, as we know. It's a pinnacle of storming. So if you notice that scene, Kabir Khan and his colleagues are there. They are about to go and stop the conflict. He says, stop. Now that looks very funny. Am I allowing my girls to get bashed by somebody? No. He sees something beyond. And he says, let's stop and see, because they have to bring it out. It is called as catharsis. Empty out all the heat. And there is something you're angry about. And suddenly what happens? When all of us are not happy with each other in a group, and we get a common enemy outside who tries to threaten us, don't you all agree that the common enemy makes all of us come together? That's exactly what happens in a storming stage. The storming has to be taken to the pinnacle. And the role of the leader is to ensure that people become informal. After storming goes to the maturity stage, people become informal. They start accepting each other really genuinely. When I am comfortable with you and I accept you really genuinely, what happens to me and my contribution to the team? It increases. So the storming is one stage which can't be shortcut. It has to go through the maturity. Every person has to be given the opportunity to express. Every person has to go through that whole expression. And it's the role of the leader to have the emotional intelligence to absorb and take them further. It's important that he does it. He has to be a leader, not a manager. A manager tries to avert storming. A manager says, don't get into fights. Let's have harmony. But harmony in which underlying uneasiness is there is not a harmony. It has to be expressive, because these people are trying to reach a superordinate goal. This type of a group. Okay, so this is the storming. After the storming comes calm. They say after storm is a calm. Here we are using the word norming. Members are accepting their roles. They are clear about the leader, hierarchy, purpose and relationship. Members settle and start cooperating in a collaborative with each other. They develop close relationship and exhibit cohesiveness. And the formulation of common goals and expectations of the group starts. Right? Performing. Now the actual performance comes, they start delivering results. Members develop relationships. Members exert energy towards functioning and performing the tasks to attain group goals. They share ideas, skills and competencies to excel in the organization activities. They forget individual preferences and differences. That's the beauty about the group. They come together as one. One single. This we can see in the movie called Lagan. I use a lot of movie to teach this subject. And I'm inclined to talk about movies here. So some of you may be wondering, what's a B-school faculty talking? But I'm sure all of you agree that these are things which we see in some of these films, right? All the individual preferences and differences are dropped. The common enemy has to be addressed. I have to see that I win the cricket match or the hockey match, right? Now that stage number 1, 2, 3, 4 is applicable for a permanent team. So in a permanent team, I have the 4 stages, and these 4 stages get cyclical. They get revised. So that as the time flows, even if new members are coming in the team, that process gets refined into a beautiful, excellent process. Now in a temporary team, we have a 5th stage, which is called as adjourning. These temporary teams or groups like task force teams, they reach this stage after completing the task. Disbandment causes worry to some members due to loss of friendship and effective leadership. That's an outcome. But what you are doing is you are completely disbanding and everybody goes back to their respective professions. Any committee formed, any type of a task force formed for a temporary purpose has to go through adjourning. Permanent groups like formal groups in organizations and informal groups rarely reach this stage. So adjourning is basically for a temporary group, right? Now we come to groups at workplace. There's again a little bit of repetition, but I'll just run through it. Formal groups, they are formed officially. They are relatively permanent. They get changed when there are changes in organization structure, job design. Remember one thing, group is one unit. Within the group, there are members coming and going. The group remains permanent. The marketing department remains as a marketing department. People may join and leave. So don't be under the mistaken notion when we say group is permanent, members remain there permanent. No, members may come and go. But members get attuned and get trained into understanding the group and its group culture and dynamics. The groups get changed when the company itself going through an organization structure. From a line function, which you'll be learning in principles of management, from a line organization, you may go for a, say, matrix organization. At that time, this formal groups will, there'll be changes. The job structure may change, so this may change. The job design may change, so this may change. And management formulates formal groups. It's a management that creates the formal groups. Line of command, they follow superior subordinate relationship in carrying out activities. Superior commands and subordinates follow line of command, formal groups. So it flows down what is called the scalar principle. You'll be studying it in principles of management. Organization structure, tall structures, tall structures means there are too many levels from top to bottom. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 14 levels from top to bottom. The old economy pre-1991 had companies which had tall structures. So the decision making process goes very slow from top to bottom. Tall structures impose more regulation and control. Span of management is the number of people reporting to you. So the span of management is narrow. That means every manager has got a limited number of people, not 15, 20, 30 which you find today. Today's business demands are different. So we have got more number of people reporting to one boss. It has its own issues. But why it is happening today is because today's relevance. Today we are in a technology based organization running. So when technology based organization we run, we have certain, the work is standardized. So the number of people who are reporting to you can increase. That is a logic. But I have my own views. Even if the number of people are increased because of technology being constant, managing that many people by a leader is very, very challenging. Ask anyone who is working in a BPO, a team leader, who has 20 people reporting to him. Does he or she know everybody personally to manage them and retain them? Impossible. Because there are pressures of performance. And because of the pressure of performance, the focus is more on the performance, not on managing people and their moods and behaviors, etc. As against tall structure, we have got what are called as flat structures, common today. Flat structures provide autonomy and freedom, span of management is wide and large group is viable. Wherein the number of levels from top to bottom is reduced and we have got a structure which is flat, which looks like this, this way. It goes horizontally this way, not vertically this way. Right? Nature of work. Routine duties enable formation of large groups, whereas strategic and critical work requires small and close knitted groups. When you are doing something of a routine nature, that's why we say the pyramid structure or the tall structure, at the bottom there is always a huge base, which means functional people are more because they do routine work. As you grow higher and higher, your routine work gets reduced. The tangible work is more at the bottom and the intangible work is more at the top. Tangible means what? At the lower level, we want people to do something which is measurable. 100 units production today I want. Easy. I produce 100 units, I get rewarded. But on the top when you go, I've got a team of 10 people and I have to ensure that I manage the team and the motivation which is not measurable. At the same time, I want an output which is measurable. So as you grow higher in the organization, you will find that the quantum of your work is more intangible. And at that stage, the nature of work changes. And there, you cannot have too many people reporting to you. You have only two or three or four people who are able to understand the intangible component and translate it into action. Areas and levels of decision making, areas of significant decision making requires close interaction, hence small groups. Areas of non-significant decision making allows formation of large groups. A day-to-day routine decision to be taken, whether this particular component should be loaded in this machine or not. A routine decision which the production fellows know. But whether this machine at all has to be scrapped, whether it is required to be running for the next 10 years or something, that's a significant decision. So that requires a small group. This is what you call, what we call it as a strategic group. We need that. Right? Taking it further, formal regulations. There are some regulations, rules created by the company. They allow large groups as relations are mechanical. The rules will tell you, do this, do that, do that, come on time, have lunch at so-and-so time, leave at so-and-so time. So these are very, they affect a formal group. And fewer regulations require intensive thinking, hence small groups. Composition of human resources. Attitude of employees towards working together influences size and cohesiveness of the group. Attitude of employees towards working together influences size and cohesiveness of the group. The group size is largely influenced by the attitudes of the people. If the attitude of the people are positive, we can have larger group. If they are not, then we need to manage the group with certain constraints. Right? Performance appraisal and reward system, group appraisal encourage group formation. Otherwise, people tend to work individually. I don't know what's relevant about this point. It's there. I'm just reading it out. Job design. Rigidly structured jobs force people to work individually. Rigidly structured jobs force people to work individually. If I say that this has to be done only this way, at this point of time, and only this much quantity I want, then the person will work individually. This is what we are saying here. Loosely designed jobs provide for interaction and encourages group formation. I have covered job design in another module, wherein job design is nothing but creating the job in such a way that the human element and the organization element both are taken into account. Right? Customer needs. If a customer needs value-based products and services, then employees, all units have to work too closely in high integrated groups. For general customer, this need is not required. I don't find much substance in this point. I'm just skipping it, taking it further. Organization crisis. It cannot be dealt by individuals. When there's a crisis, we need group together. It requires close-knitted and highly integrated groups to manage crisis situations. Very important. We've just come out of the demonetization which has happened recently. And then now we all know how the banks, they were handling the crisis. They did a fantastic job. Close-knit members in the bank, highly integrated groups, they were able to manage the crisis situation by and large. It is a great thing, a tribute to the banks in India. Okay, next. Organization strategies has to be implemented by groups of employees belonging to different functional areas. Company resources, groups are formed to develop deficit sources, resources of companies. Company resources, groups are formed to develop deficit resources of companies. I'm not able to get this clear because there's some construction of the sentence is a little funny. What I could interpret is, the group of people are formed to identify resources and make it happen. So there are certain strategic leaders in the company who say this is the type of budget we need in terms of money, this is the type of budget we need in terms of materials, this is the type of budget we need this thing, and they allocate it. So that's what I presume is all. There's a sentence issue. Okay. Next, organization culture. If organizations dominant culture is working together, then new employees will adopt that system. Okay, next. Now we talk about informal groups, which I've already explained, formed out of social needs, interaction and psychological factors. It is outside the officially prescribed relationship structures, line of authority and responsibility of the organization. It is done because I'm willing to do it. I feel comfortable going and talking to somebody, so I become informal with him. People prefer to form informal groups. The purpose of informal group is bonding, whereas the purpose of formal groups is to produce results. If informal, the results in an informal group is bonding. If the bonding doesn't take place, that's a loss or a failure of an informal group. One of the principal guiding principle of informal groups. Whereas in a formal group, it's supposed to be a failure if it doesn't produce results. If the bonding is not there, people are not really concerned. But in this case, bonding is important. The oneness.